I have a board, board so full, not a bull so forward, I got to figure out where I can write as I begin this trek on Mother's Day. I had to leave this here because it's the text where we left off, and it's illuminating the basis of my Mother's Day message. The Greek is up here, Romans 3:27. To where moon, therefore, he the Chalcesis. Chalcesis, boasting. Exeklesthi. It's excluded. Diapoyu. By or through what? Nomu, law. Tone, the one. Ergon, of works. And I love this expression for no. Upti, no. Allah, but dia nomu, the law, pistios, of faith. We have used the Arabic because of a colorful word. Now where the boasting? Mufagra. And Sadat. You remember what I told you that word is a basis for in soccer, when a kick is headed for the net and it seems impossible to get it, and the goalie makes the impossible stop but knocks it out of the park. Knock the ball out of the park, I've written up there. Where is boasting? But where's the boasting? It's knocked out, stopped with a force external to itself. By what? Sharia. And it's important as the Hebrew translation back is, because a word is used that is exclusive to divine law. Not just any law. Divine law. The Muslims have preempted the ancient Arabic word shariati and made it only that which is derived from the Quran. But the word has an ancient meaning different from the ordinary word for law. Law that is divinely imparted. And that was the ancient meaning, by the way, of the word nomu. So much so that there was even a deity in their pantheon named Nomu. By what? Law, Shariat. The Shariat. Allah, Ali, works, so close to the word for faith. By the law of works? Law, no. Al-Batat, absolutely not. Bel, by the Shariati, same word again, Sharia, Allah, Mani. You can recognize that immediately by the law of Amen, that deepest meaning from the Old Testament variety of words for faith, which is a state of mind so confident in God's word that you can hang your body on it to death if necessary, touching God's own Amen. When you say God's true, faithful, it's the Amen God. He knows when he says something, he's going to make it come to pass. Early on, book of Acts, Pharisees were converted. Early on, They translated the New Testament writings into Hebrew. There, baby, you're closer to me. Here is the Hebrew. And now, Vata Ahi. And now where? Note this word, because I'm going to go back to it. Very important to today's message. Tehillaha. Tehillaha. From the ancient word halal. Halal. But in this case, translated boasting. And now, where? The boasting. Segura. Remember that word? Last Sunday, it puts it in a cage, cages it up, or collars it like a dog. So there's more to this exocleisthe than meets the eye, which is dug out from these other languages. It's knocking it out or knocking it away, stopping it. It is collared, caged, and the implication then, as I said last Sunday, is you can't boast, calcises, about anything. Isn't that your first impression of that? Which is why text without context is error. Now stay with me through this, friend, because I want today's message to be part of the Roman series. And you've got to take these linkage steps with me as I do them. Romans 3:27, where is boasting? It's excluded. It's knocked out of the park. It's caged up. It's collared like a dog. By what law? The one of works? There's your clue. Through this entire chapter, and from the second chapter onward, he's been talking about the state of mind that the Pharisees in his day, from which he came out, boasted of. Boasting of their keeping through works of the law. The modern day duplicate is Christianity. They can be defined as do this and don't do that. It was marked by mutual approval of those within the Judaic camp of that day, the Pharisaical Sanhedrin crowd, who would measure you by your conformity to the law. And they boasted they are better than anyone else because they have the law, and having reduced it through the rabbis and through the Targums and through the various spin-offs of teaching that they have done through the centuries and interpret every jot and tittle. For example, Hillel and Shammai, two great rabbis, debated over whether you could eat an egg that was laid on the Sabbath. If the chicken worked when she laid the egg, you couldn't eat it. If she didn't work, you could eat it. And they debated for years over this. The chicken couldn't talk. I suppose they observed it to see if there was any strain in the eyes of the chicken. Work, do-do, don't-do, religion. And those who felt that they performed better than others, or even at a minimum because they were keeping God's law, they were better than everybody else. And that's the context that has led up to this statement. His target is singular. Where to those that thought possession of the law and keeping the law made them in good with God and better than everybody else and boasted about it, having gone through this long sentence from the 21st through the 26th verse, where God has done everything through His Son, purchased us, redeemed us, was our propitiation, paid the price, was raised, is the elasterion through which He looks to give us mercy and sends His Spirit to do the work of righteousness in us. Having seen what God did, and that those who kept the law and the Gentiles who didn't know about it, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, where is boasting? Now, I like the Spanish. See if I can fit it in here somewhere. Donde está Wish. Now, this is classic 1800, comparable to these other versions, goes back to the earliest translations of the Spanish, not what it will say in your modern Bible. El motivo de la gloria. Where is now a sort of unusual use of that word, the reason or motive of de la gloria, except it doesn't say that. That's the way you'd think it would read if it was translating from the Greek. Just where is now, having said what was said in the earlier verses, the motives or reason of not la gloria, to your, and gloria translates pride, glory, boasting, in a high sense. Where is now the reason of your boasting? Now, the modern translations, if you're reading, because we have a lot of Latinos in the church, if you've got a modern Bible, it just simply says, donde está la apiensis, isn't it? Where's the Spanish word for the modern boasting? It's a different word. Apiensia, isn't it? Huh? Apiensia. Oh, you Spanish people. You gotta speak up louder. I got it written down here, so. That's right. Apiensia. Apiensia. I just happened to pick up this morning the modern version, and that's boasting. Simple and direct. And I sort of like the octansia, kind of close to the calci of the Greek. But why I like this Spanish, it's not a literal translation. The modern one is more literal. But they have caught the spirit of what he's saying. That those that have been boasting of their performance of the law, Paul is really addressing them when he says, where, therefore, are now the boasting? The early Spanish translators, as you will see what Luther does in the next verse, that shaped the Reformation as he gave the spirit of the next verse and added a word that wasn't there. The early Spanish, where is now the reason of your boasting? Then they use lex clida, kibda. It is shut out, excluded, kibda, stilled, made quiet, stopped in that sense that its movement has been stilled. Ejaculative words that are simply trying to say what Paul said. Absolutely not. Uki. And interesting, because we have so many translations back here that you have to pay attention. My wife pointed out something earlier. This week I had to address the volunteers that are transcribing my messages. And I discovered some were improving my English. And when I say ain't, they would type is not. No, I said ain't. I know how to write English. I told you the story. My professor made me retype my doctoral dissertation all over again, hundreds of pages, because of one grammatical error on one page. I know how to read and write English. But, you know, I got the problem of keeping you awake while I talk. And ain't so. It's more effective than that is not so. Well, when you see the people that love this ministry, I think they love the pastor. They're volunteering their time. Their motives are not bad. They're just improving it a bit. Now, multiply that by 1,900 years as people translated with good spirit and good heart God's Word. And think of what a miracle it is that has come to us with probably less than 5% deviation. What a miracle. And you see it in the Spanish here. The ancient version says, excluida, queda, excluded, stilled or silenced or stayed. The modern version says, queda, excluida. Just reverses it. The modern version says, stilled, stayed, shut out. The more ancient version says, shut out, excluded, stayed, stilled. And, you know, those who criticize Scripture and say, well, how do you know what God's Word is? So many changes have been made. I submit that it's the same message whether you say Keda, Ex-tu-ida, or Ex-tu-ida, Keda. You got the message. Boasting is shut up. Stilled. By what law? The old version says, Pokele. The new version says, for qual lay. We don't talk qual, for which, when qual can also be used for which, the new version picks the qual because it is also part of a phrase that means from among, which one from among others. This is a lesson in translations and why, whatever your modern version, we need to go back to those oldest versions that set the heart of what was being said. Now, the reason I'm emphasizing the Spanish today is they caught the spirit of what Paul's saying, and they clarified it. He's not excluding all boasting. He's excluding the kind of boasting that the ones that were the target of his message, Christ, God and His grace through faith versus my works that I can boast about. He will open the fourth chapter, still continuing the same vein. If Abraham was saved by his works, he has whereof to boast. But not before God. His faith caused God to impute a gift, righteousness to him. None of it of his doing. He lied about his wife down in Egypt. the heathen king, had more character than Abraham had. He was not perfectly righteous. God imputed righteousness to him because of his faith, and that excludes boasting about his works. The Spanish could address Abraham, where is now, after the record of what God has done in the previous verses, any reason, the reason for your boasting? Reason this is important. I think I proved to you last Sunday, so open your King James Version. Paul does not exclude boasting. He tells you in the fifth chapter, and I don't spend much time there because we will get to the fifth chapter eventually, but go to the fifth chapter of Romans. We'll give you a little preview, and you won't have to wait till 2010. What does it say? Well, the King James disguised it. I'm not going to bother you with the Spanish. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm righteousified, if you substitute the right word, by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice. Well, the word is kalkomitha. I think you can see the relationship between kalkesis, kal, ko, mitha. Kalkomitha. They put rejoice. But it's boast. So if you translate it right, we boast in hope. And not only so, the third verse says, we glory. Same word. Kal kumetha. Or kal kumetha. And in the 11th verse, not only so, we also joy in God. Kalkomenoi, a little different word, but still kalko. Kalkomenoi. Three kalkos. Called rejoice, isn't that fancy? Glory, isn't that fancy? Enjoy. Isn't that fancy? But the word is boast. But to the King James people, boast had fallen into bad times because of a generalized look at this verse. Obviously, by going to the fifth chapter, Paul's not ruling out boasting. It's just whether you are going to boast as bad kalka or good kalka. And now I'm up to where I was at the close of last Sunday. Kalka, I'm coining a word and anglicizing it, kalko, or kalki, is okay. As long as it's not my kalka. I need to get a fresh look at my own kalka. You know, there's street sayings about those that think their kalka doesn't do what other people's kalka does. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about in the Spanish translation. We're now, having gotten a proper view of yourself, deserving death, crucified with Christ, the price he paid for us, having been raised, giving us, he does it all. And our kalka doesn't look so good anymore. Where is my boasting in myself. Where is your boasting, he says. Don't try to disguise it in Romans 5 with rejoicing, glory, and joy unless you understand it's the same word used three times. Where boasting that is the right kind of talker is committed. It's even more clear in the Hebrew. There the word is tilaha, tila, which comes from, as I said up there, Allah. Allah. Now let me take you one more step, and then I can get to others. 1 Corinthians. I was there last Sunday. Go to 1 Corinthians. Same writer. Do you even think no boasting and pride have got a new kind of pride? You don't boast in anything. Go to 1 Corinthians. Right after Romans, so you should be able to find it. First chapter, 29th verse. No flesh should glory in his presence. Can I just say it without writing it? The word kalkisitai. Kalkisitai. No flesh. Where is the reason for your boasting? No flesh to your should kalkisitai in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. You're in Christ Jesus as he looks at you in the Hilasterion, earlier messages. Who of God is made unto us everything. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So much of the church world willing to accept you're saved by faith, but they're going to help you get sanctified. Separate from what they think you should be separated from. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, the Greek of that is kalkomenos, literally the one glorying. He that glorieth, let him glory. Kalkosto, same kalk. Let him that glorieth, kalkomenos, glory, kalkosto, in the Lord. Glory again, the kalk words. No kalk in the flesh. No. Where is your boasting? That's out. But let him, kalk, and in the Lord, let him be one, kalking, and his glory or boasting is the Lord. Now you know where that verse comes from? In Corinthians, some of you have a King James that has a number on it that will take you to a middle section that tells you that he is quoting. When Paul says, as it is written, he's quoting. You with me? And what is he quoting? You got it in your margin there. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, 24. Will you go to Jeremiah? Jeremiah 9. We're saying, in essence, good kalka is here being defined. Boasting's not excluded. Stay just your boasting about yourself and your Christian achievement through works. Your and his very Judaistic performance of the Torah and your possession of it and that which you are proud of, that no matter how bad you are, makes you better than that publican that says, Lord, be mercy suited to me. You got it? As it is written, Paul says, let him that boasteth, which I'm saying is okay. This is good conquer. Let him boast in the Lord. 23rd verse says in Jeremiah, thus saith the Lord, let him, not the wise man, glory. Now let me tell you that the Septuagint version, translating the Hebrew on this same passage, and I'm looking at the clock, or I'll take it and read it to you, has a kalka word. Let him, let not the wise man kalka, glory, they have it here, in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man kalka, glory, they have it here, in his might, and let not the rich man kalka, glory, they have it here, in his riches. But here's the quote that Paul used. But let him that glorieth, kalka word in the Septuagint, translated into the Greek, glory, another kalka word, in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, God speaking, that I am the Lord, which exercise the starting of the list, loving kindness. Now, if I had the time and the space, I'd write the Septuagint on the board, and likewise the Hebrew. I think you will trust me and then go home and check it. The word that the Septuagint is translating with the kalka word, which is where the Greek developed its use of that word in Scripture, is a derivative of this word, tehillah, tehillah, which is a derivative of halal. Now, how does the Hebrew read this Jeremiah 9, which is telling us what not to boast about and what to boast about? And we'll just go quickly to what we should boast about. Let him that glorieth, listen closely to me. Oh, just quiet. Let him that glorieth, habit, the word that the one that is glorying is hamit halal. You see, the taha or tehillah that's in this word translating Romans tehillah. You see that? Same word. Let him that boasteth hamit halal. Let him, the one that boasteth, what's the next word? Boast. Yit halal. It's pretty clear that the word halal is the same word for boasting that they have in the translating of the Roman passage where it's boasting. But in this case, it's the word tahal, tahal, as good tahal. There's bad tahal, there's bad halal, and there's bad boasting, there's bad kalka. But there's good kalka, and there's good halal. This is very important, because this is a familiar word. How many times have you said, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah? That's boasting, hallelujah, for in English, you are praising, boasting of Yah. And last Sunday, remember I said, don't give me any hallelujah. and won't give me any harm. They'll rule two, to anglicize and put the Spanish your on there. Don't give me any your. Hallelujah. Well, you, it's not, it's bad Spanish, but I'm tackling the insightful understanding. If you've got, you don't say, how? The blue Catholic. You don't say, hallelujah, Pope. You don't say, hallelujah, Baptist. You don't say, hallelujah, Assembly of God. I can't abbreviate it. You don't say, hallelujah, Pentecostal. You don't say, hallelujah, to anything that we do. The word is praise. Hallelujah. And why does Jeremiah say we should do this good boasting in what? Now, Paul gave us in the fifth chapter three things to boast about. The Corinthian letter tells us what to boast about. All the same word, good, halal, good, kalka. But Jeremiah is very eloquent. We are to glory, boast in this, that the one who boasts in this, that he, that's going to be, you and me can boast today. If we understand and know Yahweh the Lord, he's talking directly, so he says that he understands and knows me, who exercises loving kindness. Now, I've battled a problem throughout my ministry growing up in the revival frame, the first PhD in my denomination, who tried to imply that you can't be spiritual if you're educated. That mindset that thinks you must park your brain at the door of the church before you come in. The super spiritual, one-upmanship exalting dummies and dumbness. I thought it all my life. My Bible says this is life eternal, that a man may not feel, know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. For many years before and for 29 years, I have faithfully tried to communicate to you and to the world a better knowledge and understanding of God. And I love the title of the book by Phillips, Your God is Too Small. That was the problem with these Judaizers in Paul's day. They monopolized him to their camp and reduced his righteousness to their performance and then prided themselves in it. And a proper view and knowledge of God blows, collars, stays, excludes that kind of self-promoting boasting, even though it's done, disguised as spirituality. What Jeremiah is saying that Paul picked up and says we should boast about is our knowledge and understanding of God and his loving kindness. And with that blank check to boast of understanding and knowing God's loving kindness nature, I take my step into Mother's Day. And I go to the book I wrote and point out something that few people have emphasized over the years. God is everything. Now there is that which your mother provides. We men will never, ever understand the love of a mother the way she feels it for her child. I read some quotes earlier in the service. The role of a mother. I so admired. So admired. Malone, the new addition from Utah to the Lakers, in an article in today's paper, the sports page, of what his mother, the single mother, who was everything to him. I saw this giant, forceful man's man, Karl Malone, sit in front of the camera and weep as he talked of what his mother meant and how difficult it would be to play the first Mother's Day when she's gone. Single mother, raising the family. There's just that about a mother. We just know when all else fails, a mother will love us. And that's why I quoted earlier in the service, the recording angel will forgive much to the man who never knew his mother. And all the feminism and all the attempts to change the King James and take the he's and hims out of it, somehow they miss the fact that the mother. You remember Psalm 18? How many of you remember Psalm 18? When we preached on it in Excursion in Faith. I will love thee. I will love thee. Yahweh. You remember in Psalm 18, as we spent time on that passage, the opening of praise to God, and the psalmist says, I will love thee, Yahweh. And I pointed out that the heart of that word that he's using for love is raham. Raham is also the word for a mother's womb. He is bursting forth. He's going to talk about my fortress, my strength, my rock, a cleft rock, my solid rock, my salvation, my shield, the horn of my salvation. But he opens it. Ahamka, Yahweh. And you remember I coined the phrase? He's viewing the object of his love as his womber, having come out of the mother's womb. There is a connection of love not to be duplicated any other way. The mother in which the formative life lived and dwelled, those formative periods in the mother's womb. He is addressing God, I, your Rumi. I coined a word, remember that? I, your Rumi, love thee, my womber, Yahweh. That's a mother picture. It's not the only one. God said to Abraham in Genesis, I'm El Shaddai. El, God Almighty, Shad, the word for a woman's breast, where the baby nurses and receives life. Been translated various ways, the nourisher, the King James translates it, God Almighty, doesn't even come close. El, God, the breasted one. Try to put yourself in the imagination, if you can, of what the child at his mother's breast and how she cradles the child and provides all that the baby needs. It's a mother picture. God, the breasted one. God, the nourisher. God, the provider. A female picture. As I point out in this little booklet, which is available through the Lord's Press, church doesn't sell things. Isaiah 66, as a mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. God, taking the role fathers, I can't express my love for my dad. How much I miss him.
This is the end of side one.